Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We're continuing in the Rambam Hilchos Reitzeach Ushmir Sanefesh Perek Beis Halacha Yud Dalid. We're talking about striking an Eved Kenani and how one is, if you strike your own Eved Kenani, then if it lives an entire day, you don't get killed in a Jewish court of law. If you kill somebody else's Eved Kenani, it doesn't matter how long it takes. If you dies because of your blow, then you are put to death. So Rambam now advances things here in Yud Dalet. Yeira Eli, it appears to me, when the Rambam uses such an expression, it means Rambam reached his own conclusion, and there's no specific source from which the Rambam finds in the Talmud. But he says it's logical. Shamakes avdo besakin v'sayif o be'even v'egrof ukiyotz behem. If a master strikes his servant, as Eved Kenani, with a knife or a sword, or a stone, or a fist, or something like that. And they evaluate that kind of a strike is the kind of strike that could kill somebody. And indeed the servant dies. We don't go with this rule, Eino bedin yom yomayim. We don't follow the rule of having to live, with, as the Torah says, a day or 2 days, meaning 24 hours. We don't go with that. Right? Ella, afilu meis lachar shana, even if it's a year later, but it's all as a result of this. Doesn't matter. Neregalov. The guy is put to death. Why? Because, let's see, why do we give the guy this 24-hour rule? Because you're allowed to hit your Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani is lazy. You can hit him. But we will see in a minute. I mean, you think you have Cartwright Blanche to kill him? Can't kill him. So how do you normally hit someone? So now look what he says in the next line. He says, Lekach Nimr, that's when the Torah describes this whole halacha of striking your Eved Kenani, and if he lives or dies, the expression is if you hit him, bashevet. If you hit him with a stick. Why did they choose a stick? So, nas natarah shus lahakos, so the Torah did not give you permission to just hit him how you want. Ella except, bashevet, umakel, ritzua, uchiyetzim. You can hit him with a stick, a staff, a strap, something similar to that. But for Loba Kosrit Sikha, you can't give him a smash that's a death blow smash. That's what I was saying. So normally you have a whip or something, give him a zets to get him going. Okay, fine. Because you want him to work harder. But now you take a knife and stab him. I mean, you know, well, I want him to work harder. I mean, that's just, you know, that's lethal. So obviously you don't have rights to go beyond the hitting that's necessary to prompt the worker to do more. Could be when you give him a good zets with a stick, you could kill him. Possible, but it's clearly done in a way that's meant to get him to work and not to kill him. So if you're using real weapons, then the whole leniency of the 24 hours goes out the window. So there's no source for that, but it seems to be illogical and it seems to be a proper deduction. Okay, now there's another halacha here. Tezbav and Tezayin, it's a similar concept. Hamoicher avdo uposak imo sheyisham shenu shloishim yoyim. A fellow sells his Eved Kenani. It's an outright sale from today, starting today. He doesn't belong to him. He belongs to another guy. However, he makes a condition that he has a usage right for the next 30 days. The servant is still in his house and he can use him, even though he doesn't own him. It's like with a late closing, so to speak. You're selling Eved Kenani with a late closing. So what is the sale? Well, let's put it even better. The sale is now. Late closing would be a good example. The sale is now. The ownership has transferred on this date. But a condition of the sale is that even though you, buyer, you own the Eved Kenani, but the deal is you'll let me work with this Eved Kenani for the next 30 days. I need the cash now. I want to sell him now, but I also want to use him for 30 days. So the owner, it's owned by the buyer, but who's working him? The original owner, the seller, is working him. Now, it's during these 30 days. V'hiko echemem, if either one of them should hit this servant, b'soch ha-shloshim yom, within these first 30 days, v'hem iso, and kills this servant. Doesn't matter what. Hareze neregalov, that person who strikes him would be put to death, v'ena b'din yom yomayim. We don't give him the 24-hour rule. Why? Because Arishon, the first guy who has still kept on to him, if he hits him and kills this servant, he'll get v'ishein akasam yuchlo. It's not his property anymore. He sold it. V'hashein, the second guy, even though it's his, v'ishein adayin tatov, he's not under his domain. He's not under his domain. So in other words, there's two conditions that have to be present at the same time to give the owner this 24-hour leeway. You have to own him and you have to be entitled to work with him. And then that would be really considered in your domain, because remember, he's got to be yours. If he's not yours, he's not your servant. And now that I can work him, that gives you the right to hit him. If I can't work him, where do I have the right to hit him? Right, so I can hit him because he has to work for me. But if he's not mine, then the whole law blows off. So you have to have both conditions. He's mine, and since he's mine, he's considered my property, and I want him to work, and he's supposed to work for me. So if you have both, here, neither one has both, so therefore, they would be guilty for murder no matter what. Tazayin, a similar concept. Let's say a servant has a state of half of him is servant, half of him is free. How does that happen? Let's say a servant is owned by two owners mutually, partners, and one owner frees him. So now, although technically, what do we say? He works one day for the owner and one day for himself, because that's the only logical way to split it up. But we don't say, okay, how about the day that I work for the guy that I'm a slave, if he hits me? No, we say that he is considered not owned by anybody at any time. And not owned by himself. It's like half and half. It's considered 50% the whole way. Even the days he doesn't work for the guy, and even the days he does work for the guy. It's only 50% going both ways. Or, for that matter, Vevichel Shtei Shutafim. Or a servant while he still belongs to two partners. Either way, if any of these masters hits him and he dies, Eina b'din yom yomayim. He doesn't get this 24-hour leeway. Why? Sherei Eino le'ech mehem kas miuchlo. It doesn't belong to anyone uniquely to that fellow. Therefore, he's put to death if he kills him like anybody else he kills him. So you have to be of total ownership of this servant. He's totally yours, plus you're the one that totally works for him all the time, and that's the only time where we have that leniency of 24 hours.
In that previous case, the one who's working for the 30 days, he can't go to the person who bought him and said, could you hit him for me because he's not working?
Because he can't do that because he's not working for the buyer. He's not working for the buyer. The buyer said, what do I have to hit? Why am I going to hit him? He doesn't belong to me. He's not working for me.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to hit something that he owns.
Well, yeah, why would he hit him? If he's getting work out of it, he would hit him. But he's not getting any work out of him.
No, but the one who sold him said the deal was that he would work for me for 30 days. He's not working. Could you please hit him so he works for me?
He's not hitting me the line of his, okay, I hear you, Shaila. I don't have an answer for it. Okay. Moving on to the next chapter. Perek Shalishi, third Perek. Now I get in some of the details of the murder weapons, and we become now forensic experts. Exactly. Thank you for the word. The forensic experts here to determine if you get misa for killing somebody, and it's based on all the psukim that we have, as we will see. Aleph, hamakes chavero bezodoin be'even o be'etz ve'miso. If a person strikes his neighbor maliciously, intentionally, with a stone or with a piece of wood, and he kills him. So now what do we do? Omdim dover shi kohu bo. We measure the following things. We measure the thing that he hits him with it. Is this the kind of wood or the kind of rock that is capable of killing somebody? Umakam shikalov, and the place where you struck the fellow, is this a vital organ, so to speak, or not? Imroi oso chefes la miso be'evrese o einoroi. Is this instrument that you've used, is it capable of killing the fellow with a blow that is struck in the area that is struck or not? That's what we're checking out about. So it could be, let's say the murder weapon would not usually cause death. It was a little splinter, right? He doesn't kill somebody. He didn't know he was hemophiliac. Let's say he dies from that, right? He's not liable because, as we'll see, because the reason we make this assessment and others that are following, because we have to know, will this weapon ordinarily cause death or not? And if it just happens to be, you know, a chance occurrence that he happens to die, the killer's not liable because the action in itself is not an action of murder. What's key is your act that you did, is it an action that's capable of killing or not? If it's not capable of killing, even if you kill, you did not do a murderous act, and you probably didn't intend on doing a murderous act, and therefore he's not put to death. That's the concept that we have over here. Now, and if it's not roi and it's not fit to kill the fellow, he's not put to death. Let's say even though he hit him on purpose, he wanted him with that splinter. He wanted to get a good ouch from it. He was malicious in that, but he didn't plan on killing him. Just wanted to hit him. I wanted to wound him. So he's not put to death.
Would he have to go to a city of refuge?
Probably not.
You said it goes in all cases.
But that's something else. But the final, probably not, because that's not unintentional. It's more like accidental. It was an accident, because he only was planning on wounding him. It wasn't like, you know, like you're shooting arrows in an area, you don't put up a sign. You're doing an action that can kill somebody, and you don't put any warning things or whatever. We'll see. We'll get all to all those halachas. But clearly, this is beyond. This was not accident, not unintentional. You wanted to hit him, so it's not in the realm of unintentional, but not strong enough for killing. Shenemar, how do we know all this? Because the Torah says, "Be'even yod asher yamus ba v'hikohu." It says if he strikes him with a even yard, a fist-sized stone, asher yamuspo, that can cause death. That's what it says. You hit him with a fist-sized stone that can cause death. He hits him with it, or a kli eitz, a wooden utensil, wooden article, asher yamuspo, that can cause death. He hit him. So there's emphasizing, has to be something that can cause death. Until there's enough to create death. Now, obviously, that's one point. And the second point, you can't compare someone hitting someone on his heart to hitting somebody on his thigh. Because hitting on the thigh would mean a much stronger blow to kill the guy than killing him in his heart. So that is an obvious... again, it's a kind of a blow, even though the Torah specifies the instrument, it's got enough of an instrument to kill him, but obviously we'd have to calculate anything else that goes into consideration for the killing that happens. And that's what he's gonna, continue and explain the reasons for in Halacha Beis. Hol v'nemar, since it says the words, those three words, asher yamus bo, which is capable of killing him. So now, obviously we're not only looking at the murder weapon. There's many factors involved in deciding, is this, stone capable of killing him? And it's not just the weight of the stone, it's where on the body of the person you're hitting him. And that's what he says. So really, the last line of Halacha Aleph really is connected to Halacha Beis. Because Halacha Beis is going to give you the reason. Since it says Asher Yamus, well, that's capable of killing him. So mikan from here, Shomdim, we measure Mikom Hamako, the place where the fellow was hit. Ukashem Shomdim Hachefet Shehikabo Mikom Hamako, Kachomdim Koch Hako. And now the third thing, just like we evaluate the object that's used to strike, and we evaluate the place and where it was struck, what's the third thing we're going to evaluate? The force of the blow. That's a third factor. How strongly you have a rock, and it's on the guy's head. But how hard was the knock? Could be a little touch. Could be a knock. That's a big factor too. Shenever, because it says, be'even yad, a fist-sized rock. Mikan shema'arim es hayad. See, we got to measure the hand. The hand is part of the calculations that are involved. And obviously, we can see, ein adoy mezarek even b'chaver b'richuk shtei amos, mezarek b'chaver b'richuk geser. Can't compare a guy who throws a stone, it only goes 2 amas till it hits the guy, to a guy who throws 10 amas. Why? When you're throwing from 10 amas away, it picks up speed and velocity, and it's able to injure a lot more than being so close at point blank range of only 2 amas. And similarly, or dissimilarly, it can't compare if you hurl a rock at somebody from being 10 amas away, to somebody who is 100 amas away. Why? Shibarichuk hamokum biyoser, when this distance is so much, when now it's 100 amas away, then yismayt kachaka, the power of the force of the blow is lessened when it's farther away, because you're using up most of the energy Okay, then they start talking about what if it's straight up and comes down. You know, you can start arguing, you know, with the laws of physics. Or it's going straight across. It's losing speed. There's a certain number. We don't know what that number is. Where up to this point, it's picking up speed. But after a certain point, it's losing speed. So the clearly 10, it's picking up, and 100, it's losing. What if you threw it up 50? Okay, now it's coming down with a force from with gravity and everything. That could be worse than 10. So we're just doing, you know, STOM calculations, and I'm sure we could spend all day with a slide rule and coming up with all other types of calculations. Now, when the Rambam lists 2 and 10 and 100, you know, he's not being particular. Don't start, you know, saying, oh, the Rambam didn't know science and physics and this. No, 100 is more 10. You know, what about 20? Maybe 20 is more than 10. He's just picking random numbers. And the Bezdin they need to have their slide rules and make their calculations to know exactly, you know, the distance, what it makes a difference, and the type of blow itself, and all those factors that are necessary to determine is, so basically it's the Bezdin's job to determine, was this blow with all the factors involved enough of a blow to normally kill the guy or not enough of a blow to kill? And it's up to the Bezdin how they figure this out. Yeah.
Is the fist considered a weapon in Sifya Dalit in the earth?
Good thing this one's working. Sorry.
In Sifya Dalit in the previous chapter, it mentions a whole list of weapons and includes a fist. Is a fist, it says, struck with a knife, a sword, a stone, a fist, or the like. I'm wondering, is a fist considered a weapon as opposed to an open hand?
Yeah, he's going to talk about it. He's going to be talking about it later on. He's going to talk about different things with a fist. So we'll see. Certainly a fist can be something that can kills me. What if a guy's a karate expert? You know, his hands are lethal. So that would certainly be, if a guy, you know, knows how to chop him in his neck, whatever, and that would be a lethal blow, and doesn't have to be such a big blow, right? But if this normally would kill a guy, this normally would kill a guy. It really doesn't matter. And there'll be different types of things, get different types of measurements. Okay, where are we here now? Gimel, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, Gimel. V'chein misharim hamaka atzmo. Similarly, we measure the maka atzmo. In other words, did this person strike him with all his strength? Now we measure the strength. Now, so that's already another thing. There's koach hakoh, and now hamaka atzmo. This is like a fourth thing already, right? We had the force of the blow, but this is like the strength of the blow in terms of how much of a punch. You know, the other thing is throwing. Throwing, that's a, you know, force. But now the strength of the punch. Umisharin koach ahorig. Then we measure the strength of the murderer. You know, a guy's 6'5" and 300 pounds, the punch he throws is more lethal than the guy a foot shorter and 100 pounds lighter and with less muscles, even though they're making the same effort, right? Same speed and everything, but obviously the guy is bigger, he's gonna make a bigger thing. And also the koach anerek. What about the guy who gets killed? How strong is the constitution? What if the guy you're hitting is a bodybuilder or a 100-pound weakling? So those are other factors that have to be figured out. Imhu god lo kat, he's big or small. Os chazak ochala, strong or weak. O bori ochala, healthy or sick. V'chein koka yetzbe, and all similar things like that. Shenemar again, because it says, asher yamus ba, with that which is capable of killing with him. Misaso shelzeb, misharim kol sibosel. The death of this fellow, we measure all the factors that are involved. So now we get into different types of murder weapons. Dalit. Kli barzel. Metal, iron objects. That, lo nasna batarashir. The Torah did not give any measurement. Interesting. What are the words the Torah uses? Shenemar, the Torah discusses murder. It says, im bichli barzel hiko vayamos. If he hits him with a kli barzel, and he dies. Okay? What do we say? The Torah says, rotzeachu, he is a murderer. Now let's contrast that to the beginning of the verse. The verse did not, or the other verse. The other verse says, if you hit him with a stone, that is what? The size of like a fist, that is asher yamuspa, that's capable of killing, or a wooden utensil that's capable of killing. It doesn't say an iron object that's capable. It omits the words that's capable of killing. Why? Because the assumption is, and we'll see why in a minute, that iron objects are all capable of killing. Va'afilu b'machad, even if it's just a needle. Okay, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Because the concept of iron can kill with the littlest amount as opposed to wood or stone. For who, but there's an important factor for us to completely say this, shilacho, that it is sharp. It has to be sharp iron. Kamo machad, o shapud, o sakan, like a needle, a spit, a knife, and it's a sharp metal, iron. If it's not sharp, then forget about it, but most iron is sharp. Of all, as it is, im hiko be'eshes shel bar. So what if you hit the guy with just a chunk of iron, a round block of iron, it will not have the same status. Okay, or something like that. Then we would measure it just like we measure the wood, or heaven, or the stone. In other words, we're just generally saying sharp iron or metal, that basically with any amount will kill, and we don't have to start to figure out a measuring, because you take just a very thin, narrow thing, you can hit the right point on a person, you can kill the person. So, it's interesting, so if that's the case, so you can ask a question. So what about, let's say, a piece of wood? What if it's very sharp? What if that piece of wood is the shape of iron, and the same shape and the same sharpness of iron, shouldn't it have the same status, even though it's not a big fist-like, big rock-like piece? If that's the case, if it would be sharp, unless he hit him in his heart or in his throat, right, that would also be able to kill him, right? So the answer is, you're right. Taka, so if it's sharp, but the normal way is that iron usually is made sharp, and wood and stone is not made sharp. So this whole halacha really is like a bogus halacha, but really it's not so much a case of iron versus wood or stone. It's a case of sharpness, because even the iron has to be sharp. So the point is, but generally, since iron is usually sharp, usually has sharp points, so we say if you kill with iron, you're going to get chayv misa no matter what, because it's generally sharp. But if taka, the wood would be sharp, or the stone would be a very sharp stone, then the halacha would be the same for that as well. And if the iron is blunt, same. So it really isn't so much, but that's just a generality. Okay, how are we holding on the time? We got only 22 minutes so far. Okay, got a little bit more. Hey, next page, 322, 323. Hamakes chavero below kli vehemiso. Oh, and we come to our karate. The guy hits his friend without any utensil at all, and he kills him. Gonshikia biyado, he hits him with his hand, or barago with his foot, or negofo barosho, or he gives him a cocoa butt, a la Bobo Brazil, you know, remember, you know.
It's all coming back.
It's coming back like 40 years ago here.
And those who were under 40.
Or the guy, or who was the guy for France, was it France last year, the World Cup?
It might be wrestling.
Right? Zidane, whatever. If you hit the guy with your head, give him a headbutt, right? That means he killed the guy, then of course it can be included in all this. We measure the force of the blow, the force of the guy, the strength of the guy who was killed, and as well the place where he hits him. And again, we can't compare a guy who pushes his friends with his fingers as opposed to kicking him with his foot with all his might. There's going to be a difference in that. You can't compare a guy hitting him in the heart to hitting him in the loins. You can't compare a weak guy who hits a strong, healthy guy to a healthy, strong guy who hits a weak or a sick guy. Obviously, there's going to be different rules for all of that. Now, how do we know we do all this? How do we know we make such measurements? And here we're not dealing with a... Why are we asking this? You said, what are we asking? We know this from before. But before we were talking about instruments. The psukim before we're talking about instruments. Now there's no instrument at all. So how do you know this? Shinamar, it says, O be'eva hiko be'yodova yamas. The Torah says, or he hit him with his hand. Torah says specifically his hand. Be'eva, maliciously he hits him. Why does the Torah tell us how he hit him? So let it not be malicious. Right? What's this word malicious? Right? Vayamas, and he dies. It says, most yomus hamaka. The guy is put to death. Who hit him? Now, Af al pisha nemer biyado. So the Torah already wrote biyado, which is really enough information to know that you can kill somebody, or if you kill them with your hands. Isn't that enough information for us to know this? It was not said, for example, when you hit the guy with a rock or a stone or an iron instrument. It didn't say hit him maliciously in those cases. Over here, but here it says hit him maliciously. So hits shechakosav lios hakah be'eva. The hitting has to be be'eva, intentionally and maliciously. Michlal, so what do we see? Shemisharin koach hakah. We see that we measure the power of the blow. And therefore, and Mephorshim explained like this, that you cannot compare when you hit a fellow without malice to a fellow who hits with malice. If you're angry at a guy and you're fuming, you know, it's to the moon. You get, you wind up, right? A la Jackie Gleason, you wind up and wow! Right? And if you're just playing, you don't have that kind of there. Right? So now, when you hit him with malice, so that's a good zetz. So that is a strong type of a hitting. That's the kind of hitting that could kill. So on such a hitting that has enough to kill a guy, for that we say most you must, the guy is put to death. And therefore, and once we're doing that already, then we gotta figure again, just like we did by before, you figure all the other factors that are involved. In other words, the pasuk has to show you somewhere that we take considerations here. So just like before we said, by the wood, and by this one, it's enough to kill the guy, right? Once it's enough to kill the guy, then we have to look at any other factor that's enough to kill the guy. So here the same thing, it says, when he hits him with malice, because there's no way to measure enough to kill the guy because there's no instrument. So what's the enough to kill the guy? It's the malice that's involved. That's the force that's involved. So we see already looking into factors. Now we'll throw in all the other factors. Is it strong, weak, big, small? All the other factors come in as well. What does Aruch HaShulchan have to add over here? One second. I think it's the same thing. Yeah, because it's the same thing. Because why does it say Be'eva? What does it matter, Be'eva, Be'eva? And the truth of the matter is, when the Torah says biyado in his hands, that's lav dafka. It's not necessarily the hand. It could be any part of the body. But the Torah is just speaking in the normal way. Normally, when people get into fights, I mean, if a guy's a guy, it's, you know, Marquis of Queensbury rules, you're going to use your fist. You know, okay, so there's dirty street fighters, there's some kick, and they get the sharp pointed shoes. But the classic example is when most people are angry, they usually use brass knuckles or regular knuckles, right? You use your hand, and that's the normal way. But the lav davka has to be your hand. It could be any part of the body, it affects the same halach. Okay, let's try to do two more, because that will finish up the topic. Yeah?
So, Beis Din has to assess all of this.
Yes, sir. That he's made? Who's? The Bezin's making the assessment. We need the witnesses.
Right, but the person who's the killer has
yes.
thought of all of these dimensions. So is he automatically a shogeg?
No. When the guy knows what he wanted to do. When a guy winds up, right, you generally could know if you think you're going to kill the guy or not. Right? You know, you want to kill him. Guy's screaming, I want to kill him. Let me kill him. and he gives him 20 pummels, right? You wanted to kill the guy. So the Bezin has to measure. Again, if it's just one smack, no one's going to die usually. I don't know, from one smack. It could be, but it's not that often. You could, just one blow, it could be if the guy's a 60-pound weakling, he's a 300-pound guy, one could do it. But, so in other words, the Bezin has to do all these calculations to know, like, it appears from the way he struck the blow, this was a death blow that he was trying to give him. Usually don't strike death blows unless you're planning on killing somebody. I know you're asking, what if he didn't plan on killing him, but he does come? Then it wouldn't strike him a death blow. So you got to be careful, because I hear what you're saying. What if the guy really didn't want to give him a death blow, but he gave him a death blow? But it really was a death blow. In other words, the Bezin measures, they say, this was a death blow. I don't care if you were saying you were playing with the guy. You don't go playing by giving death blows. In other words, you go to a guy right to his face and punch him in the nose. And I was just kidding. I just wanted to see how much he'd bleed, but I didn't expect to kill him. Well, you know, so they're going to know. If you're laughing when you punch the guy, that's one thing. Whenever he sees a guy's face right, and he says, I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to give it to you. And he winds up, and then he comes, pow, and they hear that smack. For 30 yards away, you know, that wasn't a friendly tap. So you're going to come and say, well, I never thought I was going to kill him. You know what? When you hit like that, we don't care what you're thinking, that's a death blow. You can't say that that's an accident. When you strike a death blow that a Besdin gauges as a death blow, you can't walk and say, oh, I only was going to play with him.
I was, okay, so flip that then. So isn't that enough for Besdin to consider? If he's clearly intending it to be a death blow,
then
why do they have to worry about whether the guy's weak or strong? Or
because that's part of how we understand what he's doing. It's part of the facts. You go over to a weak guy and even give him a moderate blow, we know that's a death blow. Is there any, the guy's 60 pounds, he's an old man, he can barely move, and you give him an average Zetz, that will kill him. So you got a real, I mean, you can't say, you can't plead, you know, being silly. We're not talking about an accident. We're not talking about where one guy's trying to punch another guy and by mistake he hit a third guy. You're going over the guy, you know what you're doing, you know you're hitting the guy, you want to hit the guy, you want to hurt him really badly, and you give him a death blow. So, you know what? That's it. Too bad. You can't just be liberally giving death blows and saying, oh, I didn't think it was going to kill him. You know, that's the way it works out. So even though, like, even if real honest to God, he didn't want to kill him, but you did everything to kill the guy, so then you're a murderer. And they warned you. Remember this, also warning. The guy says, don't hit him. You're going to kill the guy. Remember, he has to get a straw. That if you kill a guy, so right when you hear that, you should lay off or really temper it and just give him a, you know, a backhanded little slap or something to not kill him. But they're saying you look like you're going to kill the guy. So then you got, if you're not going to be careful and you talk to kill the guy, so then what else do we need to know? You have to control yourself. You don't control yourself, too bad. Yeah.
Can I clarify something with respect to the victim? Does the perpetrator have to know about the weakness of the victim? In other words, we use the example, we're talking now here about if it's a weakling, then obviously.
Again, if it's
to the hemophiliac.
Okay, so know. Obviously, if it's a hemophiliac, it's different because then he would normally not have died. If the guy doesn't know he's a hemophiliac, then he wouldn't be chayav misa.
So he has to be a weakling in the eyes of
the. Yeah, in other words, it's an obvious, and anybody could look and see the guy's. If a 400-pound guy would come to any one of us, it doesn't matter. He's 400 pounds, and whatever we are, we're a weakling compared to him. And the guy has fist as big as your face and gives a full thrust blow. There's nothing to talk about. Whatever. Okay, we'll stop at this point. So we're finished at Halacha Vav.